Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? Hey, Kevin Wall here. I'm happy to inform you there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. There are no networks, so you choose your doctor and hospital. Liberty HealthShare allows you to easily decide how, when, and where you will access health care. It could be the best practical, moral, and economical choice for you and your family. Starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family, that's mom, dad, and all kids. This is the way healthcare should be. For information, call 855-585-4237. That's 855-585-4237. Or visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org. And regain control over your healthcare costs. Together, we're changing healthcare for good.
Washington, D.C. I got a lot of evil there, but we're getting it out step by step. A lot of evil. A lot of bad people. A lot of bad people. A lot of fake media. Look at them. A lot of fake media. Listen up! NBC is perhaps worse than CNN, I have to tell you. And MSNBC is horrible.
Check it out!
It's 1999. I'm on Meet the Press. A show now headed by Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd. He's a sleeping son of a bitch, I'll tell you.
That sounds awfully harsh. Why can't you be a little more supportive?
Number one, time is running out. Number two, time is running out. Number three, time is running out. Number four,
hang out. Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Fun lovers and truth seekers, you have come to the right place. It's live and local now for a Tuesday. Great to have you with us. And of course, that means Victor Jakes joining us from beautiful Carson City on our City National Bank guest hotline. Good morning, Victor. How are you doing in Carson City?
I'm doing great, Kevin. Thanks for having me on.
Give me a quick weather report.
Yeah, it's cold but clear, so we'll take it. There's supposed to be some chance of snow tonight, but hopefully it will hold off. But beautiful blue skies right now.
Wow. The big news, obviously, yesterday, former Nevada Majority Leader Kelvin Atkinson pleading guilty to a federal wire fraud charge. He admitted to misusing nearly $250,000. It's so incredible. We just found out yesterday exactly what it is that he did with that money. Over an 8-year period, according to the records, Atkinson spent donor money to open a nightclub, lease a luxury SUV, and paid off personal credit card bills. This guy actually thought he was going to get away with it. What is your reaction to what you have at least heard of this Kelvin Atkinson thing?
Well, it's stunning, not just for the amount, but for how brazen he seems to have been with it. You know, I think people in the building were surprised. I think, you know, Atkinson knew in January that he was under investigation. Obviously, he knew that he had been doing wrong for quite some time, and yet he continued on as majority leader. I mean, to me, that's one of the most incredible things. If you want to talk about, you know, how selfish and self-absorbed was this guy, I mean, here he is. He's under federal investigation. He has to know that the case is closing in all around him, and he just continues the sham that, oh, he's going to be the majority leader. I mean, talk about selfish. It's unbelievable.
Let me throw something out there, though. This is a guy that got caught up. We are told this is an offshoot of the Ricky Barlow investigation and the charges against Ricky Barlow. And I guess my question is, how are the two related? One's a local body. The other is obviously in the legislature. How did the two get connected?
Well, they actually aren't connected. That was something that came out in initial media reports, but U.S. District Attorney for Nevada, Nick Trpanich was gave a press conference yesterday and said that they were unrelated. Basically, they had gotten a tip from the Nevada Secretary of State's office and had followed that up. And anyway, so there was that report, but they aren't related.
Is there going to be another shoe drop? Are there others? I mean, do you get a sense there in Carson City that there are Democrats that are looking over their shoulder?
Well, it's a very good question, and you know, there was almost a hint yesterday. You know, Nick Trpanich, the district attorney, said, you know, most elected officials are very honest, and you know, he didn't say that there are more shoes to drop. And so I just don't think anyone knows. I think the question is that we're not clear on with this is, you know, how did he pull it off? Was it something where he was just, you know, taking money, and or was he funneling it through someone to get the money back? Because Barlow did kind of a kickback scheme where he would pay a vendor, and then the vendor would pay him a portion of the money back. And I don't know what, you know, how Atkinson funneled all this money out of his account. I think that's the question that we're still waiting on.
But this is what is amazing is that this actually began in 2010. When he was, what, a member of the Assembly. And this thing has been going on. It's almost as if he thinks this donor money is his money to spend as he wishes. If anybody should be PO'd about this, it's the donors. Has anybody reached out to, anybody in the media reached out to donors of Kelvin Atkinson? I mean, I don't know if you can claw any of this money back. But I'd be PO'd royally if I found out that my $100 or my $200 was being used so that he could open a nightclub.
Oh yeah, I mean these weren't just $100 and $200. I mean these were $5,000, $10,000 donations. And you know, actually, I talked to a lobbyist yesterday, and he said exactly that. You know, basically the lobbyists who had represented the businesses that had given all this money, you know, they're wondering, you know, can we get our money back? And you know, I think there's no reason for them not to ask. I mean, whatever is left in the account, I think should obviously go back to some of the people that he ripped off.
Victor Jakes joining us, three-time a week columnist for the Las Vegas Review-Journal, as he does every week, joining us today, joining us from the seat of power in Carson City. I know that everybody, and even Trpanich, at his news conference yesterday, the federal prosecutor, said essentially, I guess what you said, that, well, this is probably a small minority of people that are involved in this type of behavior. But my question is there any concern on your part that maybe there is a culture of corruption in Carson City, that maybe this is a swamp that needs to be drained? Do you worry that this goes beyond Kelvin Atkinson?
Well, yeah, I mean, you always worry, and I think, you know, the question is maybe not necessarily, you know, is anyone else doing something this brazen, although I think it's certainly possible, but, you know, what are the legal things that are happening? that is just obviously swampy behavior, and we saw something yesterday where the Assembly passed out of committee a prevailing wage bill, which is going to increase the cost of school construction. And why would anyone increase the cost of constructing new schools? Ah, because it's a payoff to their union allies. And so, you know, you've got that type of swampy behavior happening all the time. And that's, you know, not illegal. I'm not trying to say that anyone's breaking the law there. But anytime you have so much power centralized in one place, there's always going to be people seeking to use that power for their own ends.
More coming up. Victor Jakes joining us live in Carson City, where the 80th Nevada legislature is into its... let me just see. Is this the sixth week? I think it is.
Sixth week, yep.
Sixth week. And we're going to find out what's hot and what's not in the 80th Nevada legislature. We'll do that and more coming up. Live and local now.
Mayhem is everywhere.
I'm the sun, and I'm confused. On most days, you're all, oh, I love the sun. It's the best. But when you're driving, you're like, wah, the sun's in my eyes. What do you want from me? I shine when I shine. Like right now, You're driving around a curve in the highway, I hit you square in the face and... You don't see the car in front of you stop short. And if you've got cut-rate insurance, well, that's not too bright. So get Allstate, where agents help keep you protected from mayhem. Like me.
Are you in good hands?
Call Sam Peters at Peters Family Insurance. Sam holds Allstate's premier agency designation and ranks in the top 10% of Allstate agents nationally.
I'm Sam Peters, owner of Peters Family Insurance, where we treat you like family.
Auto, home, life, and retirement. Call Sam at 702-870-4000. 702-870-4000.
My fellow Nevadans, have you been wanting to start a new business but just don't know where to start? Do you have dreams of being independent and free to use your creativity? I'm Nathan Taylor, President and CEO of the Taylor Consulting Group. It's our mission to help small business owners get their doors open. This year, the Taylor Consulting Group is celebrating our 10-year anniversary. To date, we have helped over 1,000 small businesses get started here in our great state of Nevada. If you want to open a tavern, a supper club, a cafe, or a banquet facility, we can help. Our firm specializes in gaming licensing, liquor licensing, zoning matters, and government affairs. We are your one-stop shop for all your business consulting needs. Don't wait any longer to make your entrepreneurial dreams come true. Contact the Taylor Consulting Group today at 702-483-7045. That's 702-483-7045. Or visit our website at thetaylorconsultinggroup.com. That's thetaylorconsultinggroup.com. At the Taylor Consulting Group, your success is our business.
It keeps getting better and better at Rhythm Kitchen Seafood and Steaks. Hey, Kevin Wall here. The fun begins every afternoon, 4 till 6:30, with the best happy hour in the Vegas Valley. Mondays are extra special at Rhythm Kitchen. Enjoy happy hour all night long. And on Mondays, you get 50% off every bottle of wine under $100. Every day, Rhythm Kitchen features New Orleans-style seafood specialties. Crawfish etouffee, beignets, jambalaya. Like I said, it just keeps getting better and better. Rhythm Kitchen also features a banquet facility. So book your corporate events, birthday, anniversary, holiday parties, or any other celebration. Call Chris at 702-767-8438. That's 702-767-8438. Great food, incredible five-star service. I just love it. Open every day at 4, serving prime steaks and seafood. Rhythm Kitchen, located on South Decatur, just off the 215.
I'm Mark Hutchison, founding partner of the law firm of Hutchison and Steffen. We're the Nevada law firm focused on helping businesses do business, especially when governmental obstacles get in the way. As someone who has been heavily involved with state government for many years, I know how government works and doesn't work for business. With so many rules, procedures, and regulations, Nevada businesses are almost certain to become entangled with government at some point. Bottom line, if your business gets caught up in the quagmire of a dispute with government, you can count on Hutchison and Steffen to help you navigate the rules, procedures, and regulations of federal, state, county, or city government. When you have a dispute with the government, we are the go-to firm for Nevada businesses. Whether it's facing the prospect of a proceeding before a board, commission, or agency, or finding yourself in court with the government on the other side, our team will be on your side. Call Hutchison and Steffen, 702-385-2500, or visit hutchlegal.com. That's 702-385-2500, or visit hutchlegal.com.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
So good to have you with us. It is Tuesday. It's Live and Local Now. Victor Jakes, three-time-a-week columnist for the Las Vegas Review-Journal, joining us from Carson City. Good to have you with us. I want to ask you, what is some of the stuff you're going to be tracking? Are there some bills that are out there that you're going to be following this week while you're up there?
Yeah, the big event of the day is they are having a climate change hearing. A joint hearing, which is a bit of a rarity, and usually signifies, you know, this is something they want to put a special focus on. They're having a climate change hearing, and the bill is basically just a bill to create a study on Nevada's climate or carbon greenhouse gas usage every year. And then they want to have the executive agency propose steps that we could take to get to a carbon-free future by 2050. So I'm sure there's going to be a lot of global warming alarmism going on.
But Victor, haven't they already done a lot, via either legislation or via initiative? Haven't they already done a whole bunch in that area?
Well, they have. There's a bill this session that would take us to 50% renewable energy by 2030. That definitely looks like it will pass. And then obviously the constitutional amendment, which would do the same thing, is up for the ballot again in 2020. So they have taken steps, but what they're showing is that that's not enough. You know, they want to get to 100% renewable energy. They want to get to where airline travel is banned, and they want to get to where we finally take care of the farting cows, which are causing
those
so much
darn farting cows. I tell you, they're going to be the death of all of us.
Well, it's so funny. I mean, if you look at what they're really proposing, I mean, they're talking about getting rid of the cows, getting rid of airplanes, getting rid of most cars, and getting rid of natural gas power plants. I actually am sort of looking forward to this bill, because I think when people realize, you know, what would be required to get to a net zero or near net emissions, they would just be like, are you kidding me? No, we're not doing this. We happen to like our car. And so I think the more clarity about what it is exactly the left wants to do, the better.
Well, and the other thing, in fact, I saw this, believe it or not, on C-SPAN, a slow night on TV last night. And one of the things they were saying is farmers are going to hate this, because farmers have tractors and trucks and all kinds of things at their disposal, and they all go on fossil fuels.
Oh, that's exactly right. I mean, the former co-founder of Greenpeace, who bemoans now that Greenpeace has been taken over by the radical left, basically says you can't do modern farming without fossil fuels. You know, if somehow you snapped your fingers and there were no more fossil fuels, you would have mass starvation. And so it's just amazing to see people, you know, decry fossil fuels and not look and see, you know, how they've helped the world come out of extreme poverty, where, you know, people literally did not have enough food to eat. And now, because, you know, how much more work they can get done with a fossil fuel vehicle, with the transportation options that are provided with fossil fuel vehicles. The technological advances have been incredible, and they've really benefited people. And so many people in our country have lost sight of that.
Did you see the same interview I saw? It was the same guy.
Yeah. His name's Patrick Moore. He was on Fox last week, and just a dynamite interview, and just talking about the realities of, you know, look, you don't like greenhouse gases? Well, I mean, here's what you're getting rid of. And he had a spat with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez last week, and one of the things he said is, you know, look, if you stopped coal power plants and natural gas power plants, you know, every tree in the forest would be cut down and burned.
I think you were watching the same thing I was watching. That is amazing. I want to ask you about a bill that I've been tracking, and I know the Nevada Republican Club, formerly the Nevada Men's Republican Club, has been tracking a bill, AB 186, which would mandate presidents being elected in the state of Nevada by popular vote, not by the Electoral College. Can you give us a little of the background on this? Because not everybody follows this arcane electoral vote thing. Can you give us a little bit of the history of this?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, there are a lot of people who want the president to be decided by a popular vote, but the process of amending the Constitution is quite onerous and very difficult. And so what they've decided is that they said, well, look, states can direct their electors about how they are to vote. And if we can get a majority of the states, that have a majority of the electors in the Electoral College to say, you know, we will direct our electors to vote for the popular vote winner, then basically they can do an end around the Constitution and institute the national popular vote. So that's what's up in here in Nevada, up for a committee vote, I think this week perhaps. But basically that's what it would do, is it would assign Nevada's electors to the winner of the popular vote, which is, I mean, there's all sorts of problems with it, but one of the biggest is, no one is going to come to Nevada. You know, they're going to go right to L.A., they're going to go right to San Francisco, right to anywhere in California. I mean, if you never want to see another presidential candidate in the general election again, I mean, by all means, vote for this bill. But, I mean, the reason that people are coming to Nevada, a small state, is because we have been a swing state, and swing states matter. And so just from a purely self-interested standpoint, it's very odd that Nevada lawmakers would be, you know, pushing this bill.
By the way, speaking of presidential politics, are you coming back early from Carson City so you can go to the Bernie Sanders rally out in Henderson on Saturday?
Yeah, I will not be attending the Bernie Sanders rally, but I'm sure there will be socialism for all. And, you know, I think he's got a very good chance. I think him and Biden, you know, are the boring old white guys, but I think they have a very good chance of coming out of the Democrat primary.
Now, if they do, what do the Alexandria Ocasio-Cortezes and folks like that, young, female, really, really liberal / progressive, socialists, what do they do if the party were to nominate a Biden or a Bernie?
Well, I mean, obviously Bernie is very radical, so I think they'd be excited about that. But I think they just look and say, look, I mean, Trump is terrible and we have to get rid of Trump. And I'm sure that their vice presidential candidate would be someone like Kamala Harris, you know, who checks the boxes of being a female or being a minority or being both. And so I think that's a given to me if Biden is the nominee, or even if Sanders is the nominee. I don't think you're going to see another white male on the ticket.
How long can Biden wait?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I sort of think he can wait a while. I mean, we're really early. You know, the Republicans 4 years ago were jumping in really early, and the Democrats are jumping in much earlier than that. And so, you know, it seems like, oh, wow, you know, this is only, it's a year away. But he's got a lot of name recognition. He's got a lot of ability to raise money. I think what he has to be concerned about is, look, if there's 54 other candidates, who is he going to have work for him if he waits too much longer? But I think he could wait until May or June and still have a good chance, just because he's starting in a strong position. I don't think necessarily that's the best choice, but I don't feel like there's any rush for him.
More coming up. Guess who's here? Victor Jakes, three-time a week columnist for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Coming up, we're going to take a look at some other bills that are going to be coming up this week that he will be tracking. I will tell you this. To me, it's some of the bills that almost seem to be anti-parent. We'll talk about those. The helmet law for those under 17. How much sunscreen and what kind of sunscreen and what kind of clothing should your child wear out on the playground? You don't have to worry about that. The state will do it all for you. We'll talk about that and more coming up. Live and local now. Great to have you with us. Kevin Wall with you. Victor Jakes, three-time a week columnist for the Las Vegas Review-Journal, joining us from Carson City. I've been dying to ask you, over the weekend, obviously, at South by Southwest, kind of the CPAC for the left, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez blasted capitalism as a, quote, irredeemable, unquote, system. You've got polling that came out over the weekend that roughly half of millennials and Gen Z prefer living in a socialist country. Does that scare you that our youth seems brainwashed about this socialism thing, and they love it?
Yeah, you know, it's concerning. Absolutely. I mean, I think when you ask people, look, do you want a whole bunch of free stuff? The reaction is always yes. And you know, it takes education, it takes thought, it takes, you know, a little bit of restraint to realize, well, what's the cost of that? And I mean, look in the last century, and you look at what the cost of socialism and communism was, and it was, you know, 100 million lives. There are significant trade-offs, and if that's too far in the past, you look what's happening in Venezuela, where, you know, they socialized industries. They used to be one of the richest countries in South America, and now they can't keep the lights on. I mean, people are starving, desperate in the streets. They can't keep people, you know, they can't keep the lights on in hospitals. And that's all thanks to socialism. And so it is concerning when people, you know, they hear a word and they only think about one side of the equation, and they don't think about, you know, what it takes, what you give up, like your freedom, you know, to be able to say, you know, look, this is my labor. I'm going to trade it with who I want to trade it with and for what I want to trade it with. And you know, that doesn't happen in a socialist country where, you know, the government forces you to work for them or for the wages they set. So it's very concerning.
There is an assumption that as these people, this Gen Z and millennials, as they settle down, as they marry, as they have children, that they will gain some sort of perspective, if you will. And they'll realize that free stuff, free health care, free college tuition, isn't really free. Somebody ends up paying for it somewhere down the line. Are you comfortable that these people will eventually come around and accept capitalism?
Well, I mean, I'm comfortable that process happens, but I think the question is you know, where do you start from? You know, if you start from, you know, 50% of the young people thinking, oh boy, socialism is great, that's not a great place to be starting from, because, you know, even if you know, it ends up with, you know, just 30% think socialism is great and another 30% are just normal liberals, you know, then you've got a majority 30 years in the future. And so, you know, I think some of that does happen. You know, you get the experience of, boy, why is the government taking so much of my money? And, you know, I'm working hard here, and my money is going to this person who's, you know, just at the beach all day. Like, this is crazy. So I think that naturally does happen. But, I mean, you look at what's happened in Europe and the appeal of, and I want to differentiate, you know, everyone points to Nordic countries as, oh, that's the socialist countries. Those are not socialist countries. They have capitalist systems with very high tax rates, basically just a lot of redistributionism. And those tax rates aren't just on the rich. I mean, those tax rates are on the middle class, where upwards of 60% of their income goes to the government in taxes. And you look at their corporate tax rates, though, and they're around 20%. I mean, they were much lower than the United States pre-tax reform. So the idea that the Europe countries are socialist is wrong. But I think the idea that, you know, young people would support a more redistributionist policies than we have now, I think that's accurate.
Let me ask you, bring you back to Carson City, so to speak. Are there some other bills that you're going to be following now? So the bills I've been following have a weird, odd perspective to them. They seem to almost be anti-parent. I know in the last legislative session, there were a lot of anti-business bills. This year, it seems like they're trying to take parents out of the equation with a helmet law for youngsters 17 and under, a bill that would end up dealing with what kind of sunscreen that your child uses on the playground when it's 110 degrees, what kind of clothing he wears out on the playground. Do you worry that they're trying to minimize the impact of parents? I mean, I thought this is the kind of stuff that parents dealt with.
Yeah, I mean, it's true for a lot of things, especially the helmet. I mean, the sunscreen law actually is not as crazy as it sounds. Basically, it just mandates that schools allow kids to have sunscreen with them, and clarifies that it's not an over-the-counter drug. Now, is that a good policy? Yeah, that sounds like a good policy. I mean, should that be something that the state government is forcing down on on schools, including charter schools and private schools. You know, I don't think that's a great thing for the state government to get involved in. But, you know, basically, if a school says, look, you can have some sunscreen with you, I think that's an okay thing. You know, one of the things that's not gotten a lot of airtime is how well trial lawyers are doing. I mean, they're increasing the amount of damages that people can get from cities and county governments. And a bill that I saw yesterday for the first time is that if your pet dies as a result of malpractice from a veterinarian, right now there's, I think, a $3,500 cap on your pain and suffering damages. Well, they want to remove the cap on the pain and suffering damages that you can receive if your pet dies. And, you know, obviously no one wants to minimize the importance of pets, but if you look at what that law, you know, the unlimited cap on damages has done to malpractice insurance for humans, I mean, it's one of the factors in rising medical bills. And if you want to bring that to the pet industry, I mean, all you're doing is you're increasing the vet bills for everyone else.
I want to take you back to Washington, where Nancy Pelosi now is saying that essentially impeachment, not that big a deal. It's not worth it. And the left is going nutso on this thing. Does Nancy Pelosi have a problem with her liberal left?
Oh yeah, she definitely does. I mean, you look at what happened with the resolution that was supposed to condemn Representative Omar's anti-Semitic remarks and ended up condemning all hate. You know, every form of hate is bad. You know, basically obscuring her, you know, what Omar's remarks were. And you see the radicals really driving the party and what Pelosi is saying. And I mean, politically, she's right. She's saying, look, I've got a lot of members who are in swing districts who won this time, but there's no guarantee they're going to win next time, especially if we toss in something so explosive as impeachment. And what's the point? The Republican Senate isn't going to impeach the president, isn't going to remove the president. So if we impeach him, I mean, you know, we could force our freshman members to cast a really tough vote, and for what ends? And what you're seeing is the people who are really have the energy in the Democrat Party don't want that. I mean, they're the same people who said, yeah, let's nuke the filibuster for judicial nominees. And, you know, and then a few years later, they were saying, but how are we going to stop politically crazy things? Don't be surprised if it's in the rear later on. So that's right, politically, and on point. I mean, I don't think Trump's done anything.
Is this a generational issue?
You know, I think it's just, you know, who are, you know, the most prominent liberals right now are young. But, I mean, Bernie Sanders, and so, you know, I think it has just more to do with, you know, the political extremists in the Democrat Party, you know, kind of thinking their time is now. And, you know, I mean, do you want to say that the driving force of that is young people? I mean, actually, I think that you could make that point. But I don't think it's just a generational issue.
By the way, Tom Steyer, billionaire, the head of Need to Impeach, after that Washington Post interview with Nancy Pelosi, said the following, quote, Speaker Pelosi thinks, quote, he's just not worth it, unquote. Well, is defending our legal system, quote, worth it? Is holding the president accountable for his crimes and cover-ups worth it? Is doing what's right worth it? Or shall America just stop fighting for our principles and do what's politically convenient? That's certainly not generational. But Tom Steyer is a billionaire. Can he move the needle for liberal Democrats? Can he help them?
Yeah, I mean he certainly can. And I mean, you look at, you know, how Pelosi was you know, forced to basically bend her knee on the anti-Semitism resolution, where she had to kowtow to the most radical elements of her caucus. I don't think you can't just say, look, Nancy Pelosi said it, it's not going to happen. I mean, she has a real fight inside of her caucus, and it's a fight she doesn't always win. So it's going to be interesting. I mean, I think the other thing is, you know, the Democrat leaders are basically trying to lay the groundwork for a completely underwhelming report from Robert Mueller, where the radicals in the Democrat Party, whatever Mueller says, they're ready to impeach. And I think she's looking at it more pragmatically and saying, look, guys, this just isn't going to fly, and we're just going to damage ourselves politically and really boost President Trump, which I think is a real possibility if Democrats move forward on impeachment for really no reason other than they don't like him.
And what's interesting is Tom Steyer and his Need to Impeach group held rallies in Jerry Nadler's district. He's the chair of the House Judiciary Committee, and in Elijah Cummings' district in Maryland. He is the head of the House Oversight Committee. It's interesting, in the last 10 days, two different rallies, two different districts, and we'll see if it moves the needle. Victor, I know you got a lot of work to do for the RJ. We're going to let you get to it. Thank you so much, and I know we'll talk with you again soon. Thanks so much, man.
Thanks, Kevin.
There you go. Victor Jakes joining us. Three-time-a-week columnist for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. He does videos for the RJ website, and he is like everywhere. Hardest-working man in journalism in this town, I swear, and in this state, too. Stick around. More to do. We'll check what happened last night on cable news. You're not going to believe it. Democrats exposing what it is they really want when it comes to immigration and so many other issues. They want more voters. They want more folks registered. They want more folks voting. Whether they're legal or not, doesn't matter to them. They want felons voting. We got a great montage we'll bring you coming up. Stick around. More to do as we continue live and local now.
This is Amy Emanuel, your Republican candidate for Las Vegas City Council Ward 1. I was raised with the values of hard work, giving back to the community, and monetary responsibility. Las Vegas wants a representative that will support small business and spur job growth, promote pedestrian safety, and tackle our chronic homeless issue. I have the integrity and necessary experience to do this job. Please support me at the polls this April 2nd. A vote for Amy Emanuel will guarantee another conservative voice on the Las Vegas City Council, paid for and authorized by Committee to Elect Amy Emanuel.
Hey, Kevin Wall here. A few months ago, a friend invited me for a Tuesday evening of fun at Ichabod's Lounge. Ichabod's isn't in my neighborhood, and yeah, I had to drive an extra 10 minutes, but boy, am I glad I did. What I didn't know at the time was that Ichabod's has been there for 31 years and family-owned for 19 years. It's one of the top gaming bars in Las Vegas, with the best promotions and amazing monthly cash giveaways and payouts. As they say at Ichabod's, we manage with generosity. Ichabod's features incredible menu items, including steaks, seafood, burgers, pasta, and five daily specials. And their kitchen's open 24 hours for you late-night foodies. And I just love Ichabod's old-school Vegas atmosphere. When everybody else is cutting back, Ichabod's continues to super serve its customers. Check out their nightly entertainment at the Piano Bar from 6:30 to 10:30. You want to win? You want to have fun? Then I'll see you at Ichabod's Vintage Vegas Dining, Gaming Lounge, and Piano Bar on East Flamingo at Pecos.
Hello, this is Jared Fisher. I'm a business owner, community thought leader, and I ran for governor in 2018. As the owner of Las Vegas Cyclery and Escape Adventures, I know the importance of exercise and spending time in the outdoors. And I know the amazing outdoor experiences we have in Nevada. For this Christmas, Las Vegas Cyclery has kids' bikes, affordable hybrid mountain bikes, and gift cards. We also have a wide variety of the latest e-bikes, which allows anyone to ride a bike, especially for those who want to ride a bike again but have some limitations. For more information, visit LasVegasCyclery.com. We're located at 10575 Discovery Drive at the exit ramp of Town Center and 215. Our phone number is 702-596-2953. And for those of you who are interested in a more extended outdoor experience, visit escapeadventures.com for gift cards and a one-of-a-kind outdoor adventure. Escapeadventures.com.
I'm John Sarpalis, president of Nevada Policy Research Institute. Nevada Policy has been following legislative session closely, and we've been letting you know what bills you, as a taxpayer and a citizen, should be worried about. We're doing more than simply watching what happens in Carson City. We're making sure that taxpayers, citizens, and individuals have a voice. But we can't do it on our own. We depend on our partners throughout Nevada, individuals, parents, and taxpayers who donate to our cause and support our mission. It's because of the generosity of our supporters that we're able to give a voice to taxpayers and fight for freedoms we hold dear. Visit nevadapolicy.org/donate and partner with us today. Together, we can make sure that government lobbyists and insiders aren't the only voices heard in Carson City. That's nevadapolicy.org/donate. This Nevada Policy Update is supported by Jim Marsh Kia, Jim Marsh Chrysler Jeep, and the Jim Marsh Auto Body Shop.
America's built and based on liberties and freedoms. Liberty HealthShare brings that to healthcare. The liberty of choosing your own doctor. The liberty of choosing your own hospital. Liberty HealthShare makes healthcare affordable to millions of Americans. Light your liberty. Starting at $199 for a single, $399 for a couple. And no matter how big the family, only $529. That's $529 for the entire family. To find out how you can save, go to lightyourliberty.com. That's lightyourliberty.com.
Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
She was a fast machine.
What is it the Democrats really want from our electoral system? We noticed that AB 186 in Carson City would essentially put the popular vote in play in Nevada presidential politics. We would become essentially a flyby state, a flyover state. Except when Democrats wanted money. When they wanted money, they'd come and they'd actually get off the airplane at McCarran and come raise money. They'd be more than happy to do that. But I want you to hear, this is cut one. It is a montage put together by Fox News of what Dems really want when it comes to voting. They want more voters. They don't care if they're convicted felons. They don't care if they are legal. It doesn't really matter. They just want more people to vote.
The focus needs to be on bringing more people to vote, not driving them away, not throwing them off the voter rolls.
We want them, when they come here, to be fully part of our system. And that means not suppressing the vote of our newcomers to America.
Young people should also have a say in who represents them. For your consideration, Amendment number 127, which would lower the minimum voting age in federal elections from 18 to 16 years of age.
Restore voting rights to felons who pay their debt to society.
We must help more Americans to participate in their democracy. We need to work to remove barriers to voting.
That's exactly what Democrats are saying. And by the way, they mean it. They want felons to vote. They want illegal aliens to vote. They want more voters of color. And they don't care. They don't care what it does to our democracy. They really don't care. Oh, by the way, have you seen why the big deal, Tucker Carlson, got himself in some trouble? Some comments 10 years ago on the shock jock show, Bubba the Love Sponge. And I got to tell you, I don't think I've ever listened to it. Ever. It's a syndicated show that's not on lots of stations. But Tucker Carlson got in trouble, very similar to the comments the president made with Billy Bush. I mean, they were in bad taste. But here's Tucker Carlson. Let's go to cut three real quick. See if we can squeeze this in. He is responding to the Fuhrer about his comments 10 years ago on Bubba the Love Sponge.
The left's main goal, in case you haven't noticed, is controlling what you think. In order to do that, they have to control the information that you receive. Google and Facebook and Twitter are fully on board with that. They're happy to ban unapproved thoughts, and they don't apologize for it. They often do. So do the other cable channels and virtually every major news outlet in this country. One of the only places left in the United States where independent thoughts are allowed is right here, the Opinion Hours on this network. Just a few hours in a sea of television programming. It's not much, relatively speaking. For the left, it's unacceptable. They demand total conformity. Since the day we went on the air, they've been working hard to kill this show. We haven't said much about it in public. It seemed too self-referential. The point of this show has never been us. But now it's obvious to everybody. There's no pretending that it's not happening. It is happening. And so going forward, we'll be covering their efforts to make us be quiet. For now, though, just 2 points to leave you with. First, Fox News is behind us, as they have been since the very first day. Toughness is a rare quality at a TV network, and we are grateful for that. Second, we've always apologized when we're wrong, and we'll continue to do that. That's what decent people do. They apologize. But we will never bow to the mob. Ever. No matter what.
I love that. We will never bow to the mob. I absolutely love that. Coming up, Dave Marlin is a candidate for Las Vegas City Council Ward 1. Yeah, believe it or not, there is an election. And it's coming. Yeah, municipal elections coming up next month. It's going to be big. Why is it big? Dave Marlin will tell us coming up in just a few minutes. Also, a little bit later, about 11 o'clock, Pauline Lee will join us. She's the president of the Nevada Republican Club. Used to be the Republican Men's Club, but now it's just the Nevada Republican Club. And we'll find out why she is issuing an alert to her members and beyond about AB 186. What does it do? How would it affect our democracy? We'll talk about that. Oh, and don't forget, 11:30, as always, trust me, you won't want to miss this. It's our wall-to-wall free-for-all. It's where you call in, you talk about whatever is on your mind. We'll do that coming up at 11:30, so mark it down. Appointment listening. It's what we call it in the industry, appointment listening. My name is Kevin Wall. The program is live and local now. Ballooning. Over the decades, many of you have enjoyed the freedom of flight, floating high above the Las Vegas Valley, overlooking the beauty and diversity of our great city. But one segment of our society has been denied that opportunity. Wounded warriors, seniors, children with disabilities, in fact, anyone who's mobility challenged or might have trouble coming aboard. But all that has changed. Hey, Kevin Wall here, chairman of the board of Chariot of Fire Ballooning, a new 501c3 nonprofit. Our mission is to provide free or subsidized flights for those who can't afford it on one of a handful full of hot air balloons in the world that are wheelchair accessible. Unlike other hot air balloons where you have to climb up and over into the basket, Chariot of Fire features a basket with a ramp so that everyone can come aboard with ease and with dignity. But I need your help. If you'd like to help wounded warriors and others in our community who are mobility challenged to live out their dream of flight, check out chariotoffireballooning.org. Your donation is tax deductible. That's chariotoffireballooning.org. And thank you in advance for your generosity.